Hi guys, welcome back to Delusional Diaries podcast. I'm Hallie.
And I'm Jazz.
And I'm so excited to be here. I have a lot to say today. I literally made a 7-minute long TikTok about this one particular topic. And then I was like, you know what? I should just talk about this on the podcast. Because like, I could see it low-key going over poorly the way I'm going to say, even though I stand by what I'm going to say. I just feel like, you know, people, it'll get overtaken by the wrong side of TikTok. So I was like, let's just save it for the podcast.
Yeah, it's like a safer space.
Yeah. It's not even bad what I'm going to say. We'll get into it, but I just like have a lot of feelings towards this.
We're starting a new segment on the podcast, just like TikTok drama. Like,
yeah, or just
like weekly TikTok drama, like whatever we're like seeing on our For You pages that we just want to get into.
Yeah, I really like talking about like what we would have a conversation about. It just, I would FaceTime you and be like, oh, da-da-da, like whatever, and give our input on these things. I like talking about that on the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's just dive in. I have like so many little TikTok segments to say, but I just have to talk about this one thing. This isn't the 7-minute long TikTok, but if you guys know Tracy Anderson Method, it is like a workout that a lot of our friends take, and I've seen them post it. It's like, so basically, I'm not super familiar with it, but it is, you can go into the studio. I believe it started, I could be wrong, like during COVID or something. So it was online streaming at first. You weren't going into a studio.
I saw a video of a girl saying that she has the DVD from like back in the day.
Okay, so it could be, yeah, from way before.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, but basically it used to be like a online, you watch it and you do it yourself. But then they opened a studio in New York. I'm not sure if they have studios other places, but I believe it's in like Tribeca. And it basically, the instructor does not talk to you. Not basically. The instructor does not speak the entire time. You just watch them and you like mimic what they're doing. And there's no equipment. You're essentially just, I don't mean this to be mean, but you're flailing your body around. And it's like, people say it's a great workout and people swear by it and they have like a cult following. So good for Tracy Anderson. I'm not coming at them. But I saw a video of Audrey Trullinger talking about like the Tracy girls of New York.
Yeah, I love her skits.
I know. And it was really funny. But so she was like, how much do I pay a month? Oh, $900. I was like, oh, that's a joke. Obviously, like she's fucking kidding. It's not $900 a month. I see a video from a girl who really does the Tracy Anderson all the time. She is a member. It's actually $900 a month. I have never been so bad. I've spent a lot of money on shit. I was shocked. And there's a $1,500 initiation fee. For what? Like, if you had to buy equipment, if it was, like, boxing, fair. I don't think there's any equipment at all.
Even if it's boxing, not fair. But, like, yeah, like, but stay at home. And I get with workouts, like, you need, like, the motivation. Like, you need some, like, buy-in to get yourself to go there. But bitch, fucking pay me $400. I'll come over and kick your ass. The fuck? Like, I'll yell. Like, not yell. They don't even yell. So I don't get it.
It's just, if there was like equipment or something that was really doing, like if you're on a reformer doing Pilates, I guess, yeah, that thing, those cost a lot of money. But the $900 a month for what? Like at that point, seriously, just do it at home and pay. I think it's like $90 a month if you do like the streaming or whatever. I could be wrong on that. But
oh my
God. Like Equinox is one of the most, like it is the most expensive gym. Well, not the most, but one of. And I mean, it's like what? The really expensive locations are like $320 a month or something. And you get unlimited classes. It's just like, and I thought Equinox, like I go to Equinox, I'm like, that's pushing fucking it. Expensive. Like, damn. But like I get unlimited classes. And when you do it cost breakdown, Equinox actually for me, since I pretty much go every single day, if I was to go to like boutique Pilates studios here or something, it's $40 a class. I'm spending so much less on Equinox. Like I can justify that. Yeah. $900 a month. Damn.
I can't imagine having $900 a month that I wasn't doing stuff with and choosing to spend it on working out with someone who wasn't providing much to me.
Yeah, it's really wild. And no shame because they have a cult following. Like, go off if you like
it.
You
know, that's the thing. It's like, everyone has their stuff. Like,
if you have the money.
I'm culty about certain things, like therapy. And I spend a good chunk on therapy.
Yeah, you probably...
Everyone has their stuff. It's like, who are we to judge? But like, also like, my opinion, your opinion. It is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Okay. Sorry, I just need a little sip of that. The orange peel theory. Have you seen that?
Okay, I've seen like all the, like not all the videos, but I've seen a few, but I don't have the attention span for it, so I actually don't know what it is.
Okay, I don't even think I do either, because every time like people talk about it, but I'm like, I've never seen a video explaining it.
Yes.
I Google, like, I'm like searching the other day, so I'm pretty sure all it is if you ask for an orange and you ask your partner to peel your orange, and if they do it, if they'll peel the orange, then it's like that small act of whatever says that you're in a healthy relationship if they refuse to peel the orange or not. And this is my thing. I'm like, I don't know a single man. I've slept with some awful men. I don't think there's a single man I've slept with. The next morning I woke up and I was like, can you peel this orange? They would do it. I'm like, I don't think that means shit.
It's a terrible way to judge
it seems anything. Really
especially
dumb.
With like men, because like honestly, you give like a man an orange, like they're like, oh, I'm so strong, even though it's a fucking orange.
Yeah, and it's just like, I'm sorry, literally I don't think there's a single man I've slept with or interacted with that wouldn't peel an orange for me if I was like, can you please peel this? Like, I don't think any guy would be like, no. If you're dating someone who literally would be like, I'm not fucking peeling your stupid orange, like I don't even know. It's shocking.
I could never.
Yeah, I don't know. And so I just think it's like really stupid. People are like, oh my God, he passed. I'm like, yeah, I think you should be filing for divorce if he doesn't pass. Like, the fuck?
No, 100%. You ever see those videos of those, that girl like trying her wedding dress on and like dancing that like David Beckham, like Victoria Beckham thing? It's like,
no.
Back when like his documentary came out, and they were like dancing. It's like a test to see if they would dance with you. Mm-mm. We're on different sides of TikTok, but like this girl did it in her wedding dress and he's literally on his phone just like not paying attention to her. I was like, and everyone's like, you should be getting a divorce. I'm like, I just can't. If something embarrassing like that happens, I'm like, do you not see that it's like your partner is being shitty as fuck? Because you'll make videos and their partner doesn't react in a great way and then they put them online.
That's what's weird
to me.
This is the thing, like, it's not even, it's like sometimes like you're just goofing around whatever and your partner's not on that vibe, and it might look or come across like, oh, he doesn't like her, because from that 10-second clip, it could look like that. It's like anybody has normal interactions like that, and if you film all the time, you're bound to catch things that happen like that. Same way, like, I could react that way to a partner, like, being, or trying to joke with me.
Fucking videos.
Yeah, it's like somebody trying to joke with me, and I'm, like, not in the mood, and it's like, whatever, you catch that on camera, that's fine. It's just weird to then post that and be like, and then, but also it's weird when people jump to see like a 5-second clip. They're like, you guys need a divorce. You're in a horrible relationship. It's like, okay. Like, I did see a video on my For You page. I don't know if you saw this. It was this girl. She was asking her husband, like, if you got the opportunity to like leave me for your dream girl, would you? And I'm like, what, babe, why did you post that? Like, he was being really shitty, but also at the same time, like, he might have just been kind of kidding. Yeah, so that's how
we know nothing else.
We know nothing else. Like, it could have really just been like, whatever. I don't know. I'm not reading that much into it. It's just odd that she chose to post that, because it's like, that makes him look fucking horrible.
Yeah.
Weird. Okay. The Darcy McQueenie, she does like a lot of product videos, and she, I guess, I don't know why she lets the PR collect that long, but she said it was 2 months of PR that had been shipped to her house. So she stacked all of them up behind her, and it was like the most insane amount of PR you've ever seen, like boxes floor to ceiling, 4 piles of them. What are your thoughts? People are mad at her. People are mad at the waste. People are mad at it so much.
I have a few thoughts. There's so many stitches on it, and I just swipe past them at this point.
Yeah.
But a lot of that, I get a lot of PR too. Obviously, we both do. But I open it almost immediately because I normally don't know what's in it. And shit can go bad. Like, companies that aren't even, like, a beauty company may send you a fucking donut. Like, you really have, you just don't know. So, I'm like, first, I'm like, something has to be bad in one of those boxes. Mm-hmm. Two, there was a milk
bar, yeah.
Yeah. That I know was bad.
Yeah. Like,
that's just weird to me. Three, with PR, I'm not sure what her situation is, but since I've become an influencer, I normally get asked like yes or no to a PR list in general. Not for every product, but for a list in general. If it's a company that like I don't want, or if I wouldn't use it, I'm normally gonna say no. And I get some lists like you get stuck on and you have to like, they send you a bunch of shit and you just like, it's harder to get off of it. But Franklin, stop it. Sit. Lay down. Good boy. Being annoying. Good boy. So I think it's weird for her. Don't start with me. relax. No.
Also, sorry, just have to say, I'm so sorry to anybody listening if I sound like I'm breathing a little bit heavier. I have like a stuffy nose. I'm like slightly sick. So I just, if my breathing sounds annoying, I apologize.
If it sounds how I normally sound, she's sorry.
Yeah, I do apologize.
Anyway. But I think it's weird to accept all of it and then let it sit there. If you're like not going to use it, I don't get saying yes to that much stuff.
Yeah. Agree with all of what you just said. This is what's driving me nuts. And I'm like, this is what I was like so bothered by. And I don't know, Darcy, I'm not here to defend her. Yeah, I don't know the situation. I don't know what, if she's accepting this PR, I don't know what's happening. All I know is I've seen some videos from other influencers on my For You page that are like, I never get PR. And when I do, I'm so fucking grateful. She's ungrateful. She's ungrateful. This is the thing. PR is not a gift. It's not a nice thing that companies are doing to give to people who deserve it. If companies were sending PR to people who deserve it, they would not be sending it to any of us. Like, they would not be sending it to people who are dripping in fucking Cartier. She does not deserve it. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. We could go buy the product ourselves, right? Like, it's not like PR is being sent to people, oh, they need it, like, or something, or, oh, she's going to be so grateful for this. It's a marketing strategy from a brand. A brand sees that Darcy sells a fuck ton of products. Like, I'm sure, I don't know, her Amazon clicks or what, but I'm sure they're fucking insane.
She can turn her product around.
She can convert and she can sell fucking product. A company is going to see somebody like Darcy and be like, holy shit, I will do whatever it takes to get my product in her hands, because even if I get a 2-second feature in this PR haul, that's a win for me. I didn't pay her any money. I just sent her free product and I got promotion and I'm likely going to get sales from that.
You know what's funny too? Is people have made that comment that you're making right now. Like, I mean, sorry, what you're explaining right now, people have made comments being like, I wouldn't buy from this brand after seeing them send PR to influencers. No, you will.
You will. It's because at the end of the day,
you're going to forget about it.
Yeah, exactly.
And all press is good press at the end of the day for most of these brands.
Exactly. So it's a marketing and a business strategy. It's not a gift. And we have to wrap our brains around that, because people keep being like, she's not grateful. It's like, she doesn't need to be grateful. I'm not saying you should.
She's doing them a favor.
I'm not saying you should be ungrateful. Like, I'm not saying she should be like, oh, this, like, whatever, or anything. But it's like, likely, maybe she didn't even ask for some of that. Like, I saw some of the, I didn't watch all of her videos or anything, but some of the boxes, I was like, oh, I got that. And I did not ask for that.
I didn't, like, give my address.
Yeah, it's like, sometimes, like, you'll work with a brand, right? And then they have your address and they will just send you for the rest of time product after product after product after product that you're not asking for. It's like, some of that, a lot of that she probably did not ask for. She probably does accept a lot of PR because she likes to do videos like that, because they obviously get a lot of views and engagement.
I also want to say, too, this is not the first time she's been, like, stitched and people shit on her for, like, her PR hauls. Like, she does this often. But also, like, these brands, like, her rates to charge for video for just one of those brands are probably insane. Like, I know they are actually insane, but I don't know what her number is. I'm just like, I can assume, like, what they are. Them getting a free feature, like, she's doing all these companies a favor.
100%. And that's what's driving me. And this is the thing, like, some of the, I'm not coming at any specific. I saw multiple people do this. It was like these girls with a lot of, like, over a million. A couple of them were like, I never get PR and I'm so, like, I would be so grateful. When I do get PR, I always, like, post, give it its own dedicated video and all this stuff. And I'm like, absolutely no offense to you. I'm making this kind of up as a hypothetical, but it's like, some of these girls have, like, a million followers, right? And, or however many, and they will make, like, all these videos of them, like, lip syncing to videos and stuff, and they get a lot of fucking views. It comes time for them to post their makeup video or talk about their mascara they use, and they get 20,000 views. And it's like, because, like, sometimes it's like the demographic doesn't care about that. Maybe you have a male following and it's like, that's great, you can get all the views, but it's like, when it comes time to sell a product and convert a product, you're not gonna do that because you have a male following. That's like, that is one of the hardest things. We have some friends with male followings and it's crazy because you would think, like, you look at their number on,
like, they're making so much money, but, like, most product stuff is towards women.
Like, brands, I'm telling you, the second that they see you're, like, if you have a 78% male following, right? It's like, oh, immediately, I don't care. Like, we're not working with you, because they know men aren't buying a mascara. It's just, it's business. It's strategy. It's, I mean, it makes sense. It sucks. Obviously, it would be annoying to have, like, that many followers and have, like, a following and get all these views and not be able to, like, monetize that into selling product.
But it goes back to just, like, you don't make your money based off your followers. Like, you can see someone, the follower number is so irrelevant.
It really is, because it really is about engagement. It's about
and
sales.
Like, and your ratio of like the age range that you have and the gender that you have too.
Yeah. And so that's just kind of my point. It's like, I understand the frustration and how you would feel about that, but it's like, a brand is not going to send you, even if you make a whole dedicated video, you're like, thank you so much. If that video gets 20,000 views and you're like, thank you so much, this is so amazing. But Darcy is going to feature you for 2 seconds and Darcy's going to sell you a fuck ton of product and you're going to sell none. They're going to send it to Darcy. That's just how it works. It's business.
Yeah.
It's nothing also, personal.
I just want to correct one thing. When I was like, saying it was like wasteful, I'm not saying I know what she does with this PR. I'm just saying in general, I try to say yes to things that I know I'm going to use, know what I'm going to be able to do with it, because it's harder to like.
No, it is wasteful. Stuff. It is wasteful.
But also, she's probably maybe donating. I know I've seen her do videos like giving PR away to her friends too. It's like, you don't know. I wanted to clarify. I'm not saying that she's being wasteful, like in that sense.
I think it's wasteful in terms of it's not even her fault. It's the brand. It is actually ridiculous. Like, brands need to look at that and be like, what the fuck are we doing? I get so frustrated all the time because I'll get PR that I didn't ask for. And it's like, they will send you a moisturizer and a chapstick in a box the size of a flat screen TV.
And there's like 17 t-shirts and sweatshirts and hats and mittens with their brand on. It's like, I...
Like a cheap ass plastic water bottle and like bright yellow socks with their logo. And you're like, I will not use any of that. It's all getting wasted.
Yeah, and it's like frustrating because like then you have to like I know this is not a serious issue, but like then you have to like coordinate donating it and like what to do with it, and just like you didn't ask for all of these specific things.
Yeah,
but it just makes no sense for a brand to spend an extra $45 putting these random things into a package that aren't going to help them do anything. It's like, I just need the product so I can talk about it.
Well, and that's the thing that drives me nuts.
Or try it.
Because some people, like, I guess, yes, like, a brand is going to want, when you do a PR opening, right, to, like, have that displayed really nicely. But it's still, to me, it's like, put it in an appropriate size package. It does not need to have this crazy text and all these pull out whatever and be this thick-ass cardboard. That's ridiculous.
Well, that's what I'm curious, too, because, like, brands, like, they want to be pretty, but then, like, you'll see people bitching at influencers or at the brands, like, in random videos saying, well, why'd they send all this random-ass shit with it?
Yeah.
And it's like, then you just like almost curate what you post of your package so people don't yell at you.
This is my thing though, when I post like PR. I'm not Darcy. I don't post videos like that. I think I'm kind of in between of like talking about my life and having it to do nothing with product, and also sometimes like showing product. Like, I do a balance of that. I don't like, this is no offense to anybody, but I don't like an Instagram story that's like, like a million frames of like the PR packages you get. Thanks. Like, thanks at whatever. Thanks, whatever. Because to me, it's like, that's not doing anything. If I get my favorite Peter Thomas Roth moisturizer that I've used a million times, and same. I'm like, thanks, Peter Thomas Roth. I'm restocked on my favorite moisturizer. So excited. Link here. This is my favorite moisturizer. And I post the PR box. That makes sense because I'm already saying I like the product. I'm recommending it.
Or when if it's like a brand you used a different product of before and you're like, oh, I'm so excited to try this new part of this like line or whatever it is.
A million just like, thanks to all this fucking stuff that you've never tried. It's like, what is that doing? Nobody's going to be like, let me go buy this moisturizer just because it's on the story. You know what I'm saying? Or just because it's in this PR packaging. Like, nobody's doing that. So for me, it's like, I like to get PR in the smallest form possible, like in a small little box, so I can just actually try the product. And then if I fuck with the product and I like it, I'm going to be doing a get ready with me and be like, oh my God, this is my new favorite mascara. By the way, it makes my lashes look so long. And it's like, I like to naturally incorporate it into, and it's not a brand deal or anything, or I'm not having to do that. It's just, it's a product that I actually like and I've been using. I don't like the million PR things on stories because like almost it is kind of just like, what are you doing? Just bragging? Like, or like, I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, but I think.
Teach their own.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. I think that brands need to reevaluate that. I hope that Darcy, I'm sure she is. I'm sure none of that's getting wasted. Like, I don't know. I think brands need to really reevaluate that because it does frustrate me. Imagine being Darcy McQueenie's garbage man. Holy fucking shit. Like, that's just insane to me. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. I do have a question.
Yeah.
If you've seen these videos, I've been seeing so much more lately than I have in like TikTok in general, but people making videos saying, what are all these influencers going to do when they're not relevant and like they dropped out of high school or college or they haven't had a real job in this X amount of years, whatever. What are your thoughts on that?
I think like it's definitely a valid thing. And I think the way some people go about it, like there are some people that it is kind of like, ooh, like they
you
don't,
fucked yourself.
Like they don't have a college degree, and you do not need a college degree at all. But it's like you don't have a college degree. You just kind of dropped out, and you just post like whatever, and you're not building yourself into being able to transform that into something else, right? You're just maybe a personality on the internet that it's like, yeah, you can get brand deals and get by right now, and that can be your job. But it's like, eventually when TikTok dies out, what have you built for yourself that you can then continue on with? So I think for some people, I definitely understand that. But I think there's a lot of people who it's like, okay, like even if TikTok dies out, right? It's like, you could then take that and say to any company, like if you're a fashion influencer, you could then go to a company after, you know, TikTok's dead or whatever, and be like, hey, like this is, I've built this, I've done this, and you have all of this to show for yourself, and you could go then work for a brand or start your own brand. Or there's a lot of things if you're smart, but there are a lot of people that it is a little bit concerning, like, yeah, what are they gonna do?
Yeah, I think it's weird when people like have like a semester left of college and don't finish it, like,
yeah.
Or like dropping out of high school, I'm like, just finish. Like, I don't get the not finishing part. Like, that's very odd to me when you're like, especially when people are really close. Like, if you have a plan, whatever, like you're doing well, great. But like, a lot of people are so stupid with their money, and I'm just like, I've met some people. I'm like, oh, like you really have zero like plan past like tomorrow.
Yeah, like it was for me. It did suck because I was in my junior year when I started like actually like of college starting to make money. So I was like a little more than halfway through college, and it was like, oh shit, I could do this as a full time. And then it was kind of me realizing, okay, I'm going to do this as a full time when I graduate. And it was like, this fucking sucks because my college was so expensive, to know like I am not using this degree. Like I knew when I graduated, the degree would not be used. And to know like, okay, I'm going to continue to pay $20,000 a semester, like was so shitty. But it was like, I was like, I've already, like, at this point, then I'm just wasting all the money that I've already spent. I might as well finish. And, like, I still wanted to finish because I was like, you know what? You never know what's going to happen. TikTok could get banned, deleted, whatever. I do want to have something to fall back on at the end of the day. So I did, like, finish, and I never was not going to. But it definitely is, like, an annoying fucking thing to be like, oh, my God, I'm not. Because, like, it's for me, I mean, my degree was, I spent like $150,000 in total of like loans and everything, which was the most horrible thing to think that the most money I've ever spent on anything in my entire life is completely not used.
Yeah.
But it taught me a lot of things and I'm grateful for it.
But also like did you make content when you were in college or no? Like about
college? Yeah. Kind of, but not really, because when TikTok, I talked about the fact that I was in like fashion school, but after the day the pandemic hit, I never went back to school in person one time. Every single class was online. I never went back into the school.
Okay.
So it wasn't like, whatever. Speaking of college, I just was thinking about this as I was walking here because I was passing it and I was like, oh, I don't know if I've told you this story or, I don't know, but I probably have told you a form of the story. I don't know. When I was like a freshman in college, obviously the only thing there was here to do, like it's not normal college. It's just girls and the gays. And we have like a residence hall on the Upper East Side. There's no like frat parties or normal college shit. So we would go to clubs. And I remember one weekend very early, and like it was probably the second week of college, right? Like everyone is like making their friend groups and like going to the fucking club. And I wanted my promoter that I had just met was like, come to One Oak. And I'm like, okay, do you know what One Oak is?
Yeah, you told me the story.
Okay, well, I'll make it short and sweet. Basically, this promoter was like, come to One Oak. It was Drake's birthday that weekend. And so everyone from my college like wanted to go to One Oak so bad because it was like, oh, it's Drake's birthday. He's going to be there. And my promoter's like, no worries. We can get you in. Well, we didn't even have fake IDs. And I don't think he like really realized that. And I would get into the other places without a fake ID. And normally I think I would have been able to get in there without a fake ID because mine was like in the mail on the way. But since it was Drake's birthday, like absolutely not. So they were like, get the fuck out of here. So I was like not allowed in, and I was like so disappointed because I was dressed in my little whore outfit and I was like posting on my Snapchat probably being so obnoxious. Like, I'm at Drake's birthday party, like whatever, you know, the classic, yeah. I'm 18 and I think I'm hot shit. And so me and my friends took a photo outside of One Oak, and I like posted it, like we posted it like outside of One Oak, and I basically acted as if I went to like whatever. I didn't like necessarily lie, but I very much alluded on my Instagram to it being like, oh, I was there. And so this girl that was like really fucking mean from my college like, was obviously annoyed because she was like, she's lying. And I was. I wasn't lying, but I was definitely alluding to the fact, whatever. And, but she took it upon herself, like, the next weekend I was at a club. And I actually was at this club. Like, I really was in. It was a catch. It wasn't that hard to get into or anything. I was actually there, and I posted, and it was kind of against, like, a blank wall. So it, maybe you could have thought, like, oh, she's faking it in her dorm room. And she DMs me. And it's like, you're way too fucking ugly to ever get into any of these clubs. Like, stop pretending, like, you ugly, stupid bitch. And I was so shocked. I was like, what the fuck? I've never experienced someone being that outwardly mean. And so then...
That's bold as fuck to put in writing.
Oh, it was from her real Instagram.
Bold as fuck in general, but, like...
To just be like, you're ugly.
To be a bitch in person, like, still out there. But I'm like, to put that in writing, girl, what?
She must have been drunk or something. And maybe she was just like, she's annoying, like, whatever. And it probably was annoying that I pretended that I was at fucking Drake's birthday party. Like, I get it. That is so obnoxious of me. I was fucking annoying. But I really was at this other club. So then I see that. And so I then post, like, a video of me. And I, like, turn so you can, like, purposely so she would see it. That you could see I was actually at Catch. Like, I'm at the DJ booth, and I, like, turn, and I put, like, location Catch, and she immediately, like, views the story and immediately unsends the message, because I think she was, like, really embarrassed, because she was like, you're faking getting into this club. But I had already, like, screenshotted it. I think I might have said something back to her. I don't even know. And then, like, a year later, like, we just never talked. I would, like, see her in class sometimes, and we'd, like, make side eye. Then a year later, she just tried to pretend, like, hey, girl, what's up? I'm like, I remember that DM. I will never forget that DM. That is my Roman Empire. You call me ugly.
Everyone has something like that where it's like, you may think, but, like, I know.
Like, no, I think some people are like, oh, it's water under the bridge. I'm like, no, you called me fucking ugly. Like,
yeah.
What even happened? What did we do? Oh, I had a good dinner. We went to dinner with Isabel and Maddie.
We did.
At Sake no Hana. So good. Food was, like, delish, and I got some. I'm in my martini era.
She's slamming down these fucking martinis.
But this is the thing I like, because my problem was Aperol spritzes. It's like, I actually could drink 15. Like, I've said that. It's like the martinis. I mean, once I hit two, like, once I finish the second, I'm like, ooh, I'm drunk. Like, I can feel it. And it's like, then it's like, I slow down astronomically drinking wise. I don't keep going, where the Aperol's just, like, got me so fucked up with, like, how drunk I was or whatever. But I've been really, I really like martini. The only thing that sucks, though, is I hate a vodka shot. So it's like, I have to make the switch when we start doing the shots, like, later. Oh. I have to make the switch from vodka to tequila, which fucking sucks, because then I woke up on whatever morning it was that I had drink. Oh, we went out Friday also.
Yeah.
That was fun. But I woke up Saturday morning, and I haven't felt hungover in a really long time, because, like, usually I'm just doing straight tequila and it doesn't bother me. I was relatively hungover because of the vodka to tequila switch.
We didn't do shots, though.
I was drinking tequila sodas.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's just the switch of, like, the alcohols, like, the mixing. I don't do
martinis. Can you not do martinis with tequila?
No, I don't think so. I wish you could. I think that'd be disgusting.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think you.
Why is that?
I don't know. I really don't know, but you definitely cannot. Like, you cannot do a tequila martini. That's, like, not a thing.
It's not a thing?
No, there's no
way. I totally believe you. I feel like, in what?
I wish it was.
There has to be an alternative.
No, it's like, it has to be. It's vodka or gin. Those are your only options.
Really?
Yeah. Gin martinis are a thing, too. They're fine, but I like the vodka better. I like
vodka. What do you mean? There's a bunch of...
No, tequila martini is not a thing. There's no way.
Is this a real?
No.
There's a bunch of different types that have tequila and that are martinis.
I think that sounds disgusting, but, like, maybe it's a thing, but, like, I can't imagine sipping on it like that. Anyway.
It's literally just tequila, vermouth.
Okay.
Lemon and orange bitters and a lemon twist.
I like the dirty, though, with the olive.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. I want to find you a drink that you can stick with tequila with. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. No, I get that. But so that was my pit. It wasn't even, I had a decent week. It was, everything was fine. I just, really like a martini, and then I really hate the switch. But yeah, I had fun Thursday and Friday. What about you?
What was your peak? I missed that.
Dinner.
Okay. Cool.
And, like, it's good to have, like, I honestly have missed, like, having, like, a girls' night out, like, or just even just, like, a girls' dinner. I feel like for a while I was just kind of missing that. I don't know what I was doing. It was holiday and everything. But it's been fun to just, like, go to dinner. Yeah. And, like, catch up with everybody. I feel very, like, Sex and the City coded. I'm like, okay, like.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah. What about you?
I also love a dinner. My pit, if you didn't see it, was in my media center, and my the cart carrying the media center falling on me in my apartment building. And my knees are both scabbed, bloody and bruised and swollen, and my ankle also has cuts on it and it's also swollen. That was not ideal. And then just like, I obviously made a video about it because like, what else would I do? I'm a fucking content creator. Like, sorry, I'm on my fucking grind. Sorry, I fucking have passion in a job. I don't know. Anyways, people were just like being mean to me in the comments. Like, that was also wasn't great for me.
Well, it drives me fucking nuts. Like, comments like that. You really can never win on. I've really been realizing that recently, that you cannot win on TikTok. Like, I've always known that, but it's been just.
It's been hitting different recently.
It has. And it's like, you'll post a video like that where you're like, if you think you're having a bad day, da 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 da. People are like, well, like.
This girl comments, she's like, well, I have cancer. I'm like, I am not saying that. Someone else can't also have a bad day, but like, if 300 plus pounds of shit fell on you and you were stuck under it and couldn't get out and were injured, that is considered a bad day.
It's just
not
it's,
saying people can't have worse days.
No, but it goes back to what we were saying last week about Hailey Bieber and working. It's like, if you want to play the comparing game, we can do that all day long. Yeah. Like, there's always going to be somebody that has it worse than you. It's like, because you're saying, oh, I had a bad day, doesn't mean that you're saying it was the worst day on the actual planet and there's people that, like, nobody has it worse than me. That's not what that means.
Like, I was in pain and that was really not ideal for me. And I'm sorry, if most people, if 300 pounds of shit fell on them and they couldn't get out and they were injured, they would probably cry.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know, the comparing shit and, like, just people being like, well, my day was worse. Shut the fuck up. Oh my God.
Yeah, like, let me live and let everyone else fucking live. Anyways, so that was my pit. Then my peak was yesterday. Bro, for real? Like, what is wrong with you? Sorry, my peak was yesterday. Me and Kevin went to a seafood. Sorry, my peak was that me and Kevin went to a seafood boil. It was really fucking good. And I was like, oh, we ordered way too much food. Nope, we ate everything. Like, it was fantastic, though. It's like, I walked away so fucking satisfied from that meal.
I love that.
So that was really a fun experience for me.
That's exciting. I have something I want to talk about.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen it. I don't know enough about it to give a full recap, but I'll give you what I know.
Okay.
Ballerina Farm. Do you know what that is and what?
No.
Okay, so she's like, I've seen her on my For You page. She's like a mom, and she has like 7 kids. She just had her 8th. And she's like, I believe her family's like uber rich. And she'll post like a lot of cooking videos where she's like making, like, they have this like rustic, like farm looking kitchen. And she'll like make sourdough for, she'll be like making breakfast or something. And it's like the most insane thing where it's like, she literally makes the sourdough from scratch and then like makes an avocado toast by like doing like everything literally from scratch.
Yeah.
Anyway, her videos get a lot of fucking views. She's very popular, whatever. She's a mom. And I guess she just had her 8th baby, and 12 days postpartum, she competed in Miss America.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And people are like mad at her because they're like, this is a really like non-realistic version of postpartum. And like, she's glorifying like this, and postpartum depression is real and all of this stuff. And like, people were mad at her saying,
Did she like shame other moms or anything?
No, but I don't believe so. So that's what was crazy, is like all these people getting mad. It's like, who cares? Not everything's realistic. Like, yeah, postpartum depression is real. And if you have postpartum depression and no one's mad at you for that, nobody's shaming you for that, like, totally everyone will give you the grace that, like, you know, like, you need time to heal or whatever. But if she 12 days out can compete in Miss America and like kill it, why would we be mad at her for that?
Yeah, if she's not shaming anyone, I don't see the problem. Like, I mean, it's just like, it's the other side of the spectrum. Like, it's one, like, you postpartum depression, like, people are struggling. There's one that some people are just fine after.
And they bounce back super quick. And, like, Allison, is it Cooch? Is that how you say it?
I don't know if that's...
I believe. Yeah. Alice, she just had a baby. And I saw her comment on one of the videos, and she's like, I have horrible, like, I've had a horrible, like, postpartum, like, whatever.
Journey.
Yeah. And she's like, and I think this is great for her. Like, go off, girl boss. Like, why would we not be supporting her? Like, it's just really weird. Especially also, like, probably after your 8th, like, you're probably like, all right, like, so, like, she's done it a million times. Like, it's a routine at this point. I feel like you'd be able to bounce back a lot easier after you've had like a lot of kids. Like, the first one's probably the worst. I don't know.
Yeah, I think my first thought was like, wow, that's crazy that she's able to like get up and do that. Like, good for her. I would take it as like, well, that's inspiring. Like, not saying that I could do the same thing, but like, wow, go women.
I know. And it is just like people getting mad at people or like other influencers or whoever for not being relatable is really weird. Not everything needs to be relatable. That's like getting mad at Travis Kelce because he's good at football or something. It's like, what? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not, I don't follow most people for relatability. I follow them because like I find something interesting or like whatever about them or like what they're doing.
The only time I...
Or entertaining.
Yeah. And it's like, that's the thing. It isn't about relatability. The only time I will say it's probably hard, I think, where it's like you do get frustrated that somebody's not relatable is like somebody like Emma Chamberlain that you started watching because she was like vlogging in her car going thrifting and it was like she was the most relatable version. And to watch somebody like that who was so fucking relatable become so unrelatable is hard. It's not even like Emma did anything wrong. She didn't. It is just a definite huge switch from like, oh, wow, like she's it's not the girl.
It's the same energy as like when people get mad at influencers for quitting their full-time job because like they were able to like become an influencer. And I got a lot of that, but I'm like,
yeah,
I was like if they if you liked them when they were relatable, like just be you don't really enjoy their content anymore, but like you can still be like, oh, like that's inspiring or cool that they were able to do XYZ
100% like and it's like, yeah, it's not coming at Emma Chamberlain, but it definitely is like a, oh, like we loved Emma because she was so fucking relatable and now she has become this very like non-relatable because she's been so successful and done so well, which is literally amazing and I'm happy for her, but it definitely is like, damn, kind of sucks. I think about actually somebody who I feel like has stayed really consistent is Alex Earle. Like, I feel like on the relatability spectrum because she never started off relatable in the way
she was never like broke.
But well, that's the thing. She was relatable in the way she would talk about things openly, like her acne, going out and like partying and just being really relatable on a lot of those aspects where you felt like she was your friend. But you always knew like she was dating like fucking MLB player.
Yeah.
Like from the jump, and it's like you always kind of knew she was a very aspirational version of relatable, and I feel like she's kind of stayed on that level where it's like she's stayed posting about going out and she hasn't really like strayed from those aspects of relatability, but she's also like still like you're like, oh yeah, she's dating an NFL player and she's like on private jets, like
yeah, people just get more mad when someone broke ends up having money.
Yeah, it really is
that. And it's like, shouldn't we be happy that people are getting their money up instead of just they just had money, now they have more of it?
I think a lot of it stems from jealousy, like it which sucks. Like, and I understand why you would feel that way. Like, just like feeling like you have this person that you relate to because like they're struggling, and then seeing them not struggle anymore, it's like we should be happy for them. But I can understand the jealousy where you're like, damn, like,
yeah,
we lost it. We lost another one.
Yeah, no, 100%. Speaking of this weekend, I made notes on my phone when we were out this weekend. Let me just say, it is so humbling to see a man that you cried over. Like, it's actually painful. Because in the moment, you're like, this is my husband.
Yeah.
And then once you're out of it, you're like, holy fuck, that is embarrassing as shit. And to have to, like, Isabel's like our new friend, you know? And for me to have to explain, oh, like,
I was down bad over him.
I was down bad over that guy. And she's like,
you're like, oh, really?
It's like, I know, it's so hard to explain. Like, I'm like, you had to be there, but even then you probably still wouldn't have got it because
you can't choose who you fall for, like as Taylor Swift would say.
Sometimes you just like vibe with someone and you're delusional and like that just like happens. So that was definitely different.
It wasn't delusional though, like in this sense, like it's like you just liked this person and you guys hit it off and you talked a fucking lot and you're not delusional for that's nothing about that was delusional. Like, if you like somebody, yeah, and if maybe they're not the most attractive person you've ever seen in your entire life, like, who cares?
Just like, there's nothing giving there besides, like, whatever. It's so stupid. It's just different to see a man you've cried over
there's once
you're over them.
There's a small level of man where it's like, you have such a fucking good personality. You're like this cocky, witty banter.
When someone's wit is like quick, like no matter what is said, they have a response and it eats every fucking time.
You are attracted to them. It does not matter what they look like. Like, they can get away with it. Because also, I feel with wit, like, with being that witty, it is a level of intelligence where I'm like,
yes,
I like, really admire.
Because you have to have enough to where you can pick something to say.
Yes. No. Like, being super witty and being super quick with it is, like, a level. It's genuinely a level of intelligence. It really is. Like, your IQ has to be fucking high. Like,
every person that like, has not made sense, like, in a man that I've ever liked, witty as fuck.
Yeah. And it sucks because you're like, it does not matter what they look like. Yeah. That's why, like, I've always loved Pete Davidson from the jump. Like, is he the most attractive person conventionally? Absolutely not. But it's like, he is so fucking witty and he has that banter to him where it's just so attractive. It does not matter. It's like, and that's why, like, I love Tana Mojo, obviously. Like, I talk about her all the fucking time. But, like, she's also a level, and Brooke, too. They're, like, I love listening to their podcast because they have that same, like, wit where they're so fucking quick with it. We're like, how did you even, like, think to say that? And in men, it's fucking attractive. So I don't shame you at all for any.
Yeah. And, like, before we met him, you were like, he's really funny. And I love to giggle.
No, nothing's better than a man who can make you laugh, like, genuinely. I don't care. That's why I fell in love. We talked about it last week. I fell in love with this man that I slept with one time. I didn't really love him, but I was infatuated because I was just like, I've never, like, had a conversation with somebody where it was just so, like, yes. Like, we're just, like,
yeah,
two peas in a pot. And, like, yeah, I don't know. It's great.
It happens.
Okay, so I've seen some videos about this on my For You page and just in general. First of all, how do you feel about, I'm sure we've all been in this situation, when you would be with a friend and they would pay for something on their parents' card and then they would be like, Venmo me half, and you knew that they were just going to be pocketing the money and their parents paid for it. Like, how do you feel about that?
I've never had that happen.
You've never had that happen in your life?
No.
I've had that happen so many times.
I think I haven't had it happen because in high school, most of my friends all worked. And, like, I came from very similar backgrounds as my friends. So, like, we were all at the same vibe. Like, no one had their parents' cards they were using. And then I didn't go to college, so I never had that experience.
Wow.
Then, like, I grew up when I was, like, like 20, like, whatever. And, like, all my friends were all my friends from corporate jobs and, like, work. So I never had that experience.
Okay. Wow. I feel like that's a pretty universal
experience. No, I feel like it's so common. Because I feel like my, like, upbringing and then, like, skipping college and stuff made it different.
Okay. How would you feel if that happened to you? Like, bullshit. If someone was like, would you not want to pay them?
No, I obviously would, but I don't feel like, if they asked, yeah, I'll pay you. But also, like, why can't we just, like, pay for it normally? I don't get why you get to get the points for your parents.
Like, or, like, keep the money. Like, you know they're going to pocket the money. Like, you know. For me, it's, like, because I think that when this would happen to me, like, it's, like, on one hand, I understand, like, I don't think I deserve free shit or something. I don't think your parents need to fund my dinner or Uber or whatever it is. Like, just because, like, you're, like, whatever. But at the same time, it is odd to me to I would constantly have friends that would do that where it's like, oh, I'll get the Uber. And you know it's on their card. And then they're like, now Venmo me $30. And it's like, all you're doing is just pocketing my money. Why can't we split the Uber? Like, then your parents are paying for your $30 and that's great. And I'm paying for my $30 and I'm not giving you my $30 to just, like, go blow on clothes. Like, that was constantly weird to me when it would happen a lot like that.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. It needs to be split exactly what it is.
Like, but I don't know, because I saw a video on my For You page of this girl being like, if I'm not fucking paying you, if I know your parents paid for it, which I'm kind of like, I understand the frustration with it, but you don't deserve free stuff because of
it. Yeah, I agree. That's, like, it's irritating, but also just don't do it.
Yeah.
Like, don't get yourself in a situation where you have to deal with that in the first place.
It's hard. Like. It is hard sometimes, though, just because, like, of the way things, like.
I know, but if you're not going to be like, okay, I'll pay you, then like, you shouldn't let them pay for it in the first place.
I know, but sometimes, like, for me, right, like, it'd be like, we'd go to this dinner with, like, five people or something, and it would be like, I would know my friend was putting, because the dinner bill would be, like, $300 or however much.
Yeah.
And it's like, for me, I literally didn't have $300 to put my card down to pay for it. So it's like, we wouldn't be able to split it evenly. So it's like, my friend would be like, oh, I'll put my card down. It's her parents' card. She'd pay for it and then have everybody Venmo her. So then she would just pocket everybody's money. You know what I'm saying? And I'd get in situations like that a lot where I knew that she was keeping the money. But it's like, there's nothing I can do. I'm not going to not pay her. It's at the end of the day, whatever. But
in that situation, you do pay for your portion, right? Like,
what do you mean? I was always
paying. That's what I'm saying. It. Like, you pay for your portion. Like, yeah, she's pocketing it, but, like, you just paid for, like, what?
I was never not. I'm saying it's annoying to think that, like, she's not giving her parents any of that money. But at the end of the day, it still is, like, if her parents don't care and they're fine with, like, paying the bill.
My thing is, like, what if you were able to split it evenly, you would have paid the same amount. I'm like, just, like, yeah, you're annoying and, like, it's privilege. Just fuck. but
yeah, that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that you shouldn't pay.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying you are. I'm just saying, like,
yeah, it's just annoying, like, to think that your friend is continually keeping your money and, like, you're basically paying for your friend's, like, fucking clothes or whatever she's gonna go buy with your money. Yeah. That's, like, kind of frustrating. But it's, at the end of the day, if parents are okay with that, then there's not, it's not your place to be like, let me pay your parents or something.
Yeah.
But that is one of my biggest pet peeves in life, is people who are very stingy with money to a point where it's rude when they have the means to not be. Do you know? Yeah. Like, obviously, completely understand in college situations or just in general, like, if you just don't have the means. But it's, like, the people that you fucking know and, like, they'll be, like, you'll, let's say, like, you'll buy your friend, like, and you guys are in relatively similar situations of life. It's like you'll buy your friends like drinks and you'll never ask them to pay for it because you're like, oh, you'll get me back eventually.
You'll get the next one. And then never fucking get the next one.
Or they get the next one. They're like, okay, Venmo me $7 for that. And you're like,
if you really want to go tit for tat, you owe me like 300 fucking bucks.
Yeah. And so that is that. And also at the at an adult age, in my opinion, in my friendships, I'm not Venmoing you under 25, 30 bucks. Like, I'm not Venmoing you like $15 for something. I think that's ridiculous. If I was 3 years back where I was not like in a place where I was making adult money, completely 100%.
I'm going to go tit for tat.
I'm Venmoing you $6 for Starbucks. You're Venmoing me $6 for Starbucks because that matters. But in my place of life right now, and I know my friend's place of life, I'm like, you don't need my $15. And I think it's just fucking weird because it's like, again, you'll get it next time. And we've talked about this before, just like having friendships that you have that trust in, but nothing drives me crazier than like when you know you've paid for a lot for somebody and then they are like, okay, now Venmo me. And you're like, there's no fucking way I'm Venmoing you.
Yeah. No, it's like literally, it's just like too much. Well, it's crazy how you called me the other day. We went out like on Friday and Saturday, but she calls me like Sunday morning. She's like, hey, how y'all doing? And, like, you never have anxiety. And normally, I used to always call Hallie after going out. And I'd be like, just making sure you don't hate me. Even though I knew nothing happened, I was just anxious as fuck for, like, no reason. And I'm not really, this doesn't happen to me as often anymore. But I think you hate me just, like, for random things throughout the week because I'm just anxious all the time. But you called me and it's like, oh, it's like, roles are reversed.
I've been having horrible just anxiety / just anxiety in general. I literally, like, I'm like, I need to get medicated. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck's wrong with me. Because, like, I just am convinced every single time I wake up from drinking. And it's, like, not, like, that's a thing. I used to get way more drunk and be way more irresponsible and, like, legit blackout and probably do awful things. And I would wake up the next morning like, sunshines and rainbows and lollipops. And I, like, wouldn't give a fuck. I've been going out where it's, I remember coming home. I know everything that happened. But it's, like, I'll get it in my head that I don't even know. And then it's, like, I just can't calm down from it. And I just wake up and I'm, like, oh, my God. I seriously, like, everybody fucking hates me. I have no friends. Like, I'm going to have to move back to Virginia. Like, it's, like, that's how I wake up every morning. And it's, like,
I feel like you've been like that even when, like, you don't drink.
Yeah, no, dude, I like, have
been. You've just been extremely anxious.
Like, I have been. I've been so anxious. I woke up this morning with the biggest pit in my stomach. Like, every morning I wake up in a panic. I, like, check my phone and I'm like, oh my God, what happened? Like, whatever. And it's really bad. I need to, like, get it under control because I'm just like,
it's hard though, especially like when you're not used to it, because like, you used to be like the complete opposite spectrum of anxiety, and now you've reached the other side of it, and it sucks.
Balance.
It's
hard. I need a balance. Yeah. Because, like, I used to, like, literally not give a fuck about anything to the point. It's really, like, the TikTok people have kind of beaten me down. I haven't even been getting a lot of hate or anything. It's just, like, I feel like it's hard because I feel all this pressure, like, this is my job. Like, if everybody fucking hates me, then it's, like, what am I going to do? And nobody hates me, and I don't know why, but I just get it in my head that that's, like, I don't know. I'm so scared of like a cancellation or something. I haven't even been doing anything. I used to say way worse shit and do way more like stuff all the time. And I don't know.
I think it's also just like, it's like you said earlier, it's like the age. Like I think you think things further out now than you used to. You used to be like, I think more in the moment.
Yeah.
And I think you like weigh like different scenarios way more than you used to. I'm not saying it's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm just saying I think that gives you a little more anxiety.
I think what's really been the hardest is maturing has made me become so cripplingly self-aware. I genuinely, like, people might not believe this, but I think I'm one of the most self-aware people where I'm like, yeah, I acknowledge, like, this about myself, like, whatever.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
But I become so self-aware, but with the self-awareness, like, I literally miss, like, ignorance is fucking bliss. It really is such a peaceful mindset when you just, like, don't know and you don't care. But because I've become so much more self-aware, I'm like, oh my God. And it's caused me a lot of anxiety.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
I feel like when I was uncovering the most stuff in therapy with becoming so fucking self-aware, those were like the hardest like times of my anxiety, because I would just realize shit so much more than I had ever had. Like, I'd be like, oh yeah, whatever, before, but I'm like, oh my gosh, I'd think it like three steps deeper. Mm. And I play out different scenarios, and I would then make me take things more personally and like more deep, and it just like made me just like so fucking on edge.
Yeah. This is Delusional Diaries, which is funny, but I like feel like I've become the least delusional sense of myself, where I'm like, I'm aware of everything that's happening, and it's just like makes me so like stressed, because I overthink, like, to the point where, I don't know how to put this, you know when like somebody makes like a like, I don't know how to put this, because this hasn't even happened to me, but it's like, you know when you know that somebody's not self-aware and like somebody's doing stuff and like kind of everybody in the group is like, like, that's my biggest fear of life, is like talking and somebody, everyone's kind of like sitting there like,
yeah. It's like everyone has the same thought, but like the,
and yes, exactly,
that's horrible.
Or when you're like, let's say like this, again, this is a hypothetical, I'm just using, like, this. I actually would kill myself. This has probably happened to me at some point in my life, and I don't even know it, but like when you're in a group chat with people and then like people make a second group chat, and I saw a girl make a TikTok about, yeah, this the other day, and it's like whatever the name of the group chat is, like 2.0 or something, and they like have a smaller amount of people in it, or maybe just you're left out of it or whatever. I was rethinking my life. I was like, has that ever happened to me? Like, I feel in my head like, oh no, I'm always like in on like whatever inner circle there is, like I'm good, but like I'm sure at some point in my life like somebody's made a group chat and I've been like left out of it. Like,
oh,
that.
I fully have too.
I mean, I'm sure that has happened, but it's like thinking of something like that now, I'm like, oh my God, like it gives me anxiety. I don't know. I don't want to be that person.
Yeah. I think it's also just bold as fuck of the person who makes the 2.0 group chat. Cause like everyone can be thinking it, but to be the one who actually does it is wild.
Yeah. I've probably been there at some point in my life, like not it, but I'm sure like I've been in like a,
oh yeah,
I have been. It's just a part of life. Like, sometimes it is what it is, but
it's like a canon event.
Yeah. Everything's just been giving me anxiety recently. I need to figure that out. I'm going to.
Oh, we're going to Eli's live show this weekend. I'm so excited. We're the guest for her book tour show in DC. Haven't been to DC before. You're obviously from like the area. My friend Cole goes to law school there. Well, I guess he's actually finished and actually passed the bar now. I don't know why I fucking said that. But we're going to go to lunch with him because you've met him, you know him. And then we're going to go out. So I'm really excited.
Yeah, we're going to my house.
I've never been to Hallie's house. I'm so excited. But Hallie's mom literally called me this weekend. We talked about our shows. And I also just love Hallie's dad being the FBI. Like, my besties. So I'm excited to hang out.
Yeah, Jazz watches all the same shows as my mom. So it's, like, funny.
I hung up on Hallie the other day to talk to her mom on the phone.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't talk. Like, your mom's calling.
Yeah, but Friday night we're going to my house because... I was like, I might as well go to my parents for a day because we're already going to be in DC, and then we're going to be in DC Saturday. It's like not, it's like an annoying drive where it's like kind of long where you're like, ugh, but it's like too short to fly.
Yeah.
So it's like one of those in-betweens. It's like a 4-hour drive. So it's really not that bad. You can just go for kind of like a day. It's 2 days. It's a very quick trip. We're coming back like Sunday.
Yeah.
By like noon. But yeah, I'm like dreading the drive just because it's like meh.
Sorry for the abrupt ending. Our sound thing is dying. So thanks for listening. Talk to you guys next week. Love you so much. Bye.
Bye.